This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In 20 minutes, Kurt Warner, two-time NFL MVP, Super Bowl champ, Hall of Famer, Westwood One analyst extraordinaire. And of course, you know, last week he was on Monday Night Football and said the words, "Amy's great." I still can't get over it. And we wanted to get him on the show because we wanted to make sure he remembered me and remembered us before it was too late. We wanted to make sure we snagged him. And so had a chance to talk to him literally a couple hours ago, right after Monday Night Football. And I'm so excited for you to hear the conversation. It's coming up in 20 minutes here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. We're going to get your calls right away here momentarily. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Again, 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Named after the show, you're still submitting your votes for Monday MVP, which is cool. We will let you know who you selected as your most valuable player following week number 7. Plus, we've got the candidates for TD of the week. As always, we morph into a Touchdown Tuesday right after the NFL week is over. Although I guess we've had a couple of the Tuesday games, which has been kind of interesting. We are going to have an extended edition of QB news on the show, and not just because we've got Kurt Warner, one of the greatest to ever play the position, but wait until you hear what Matthew Stafford had to say and how excited he was in the aftermath of the Lions come from behind win against the Falcons that literally took place with no time left on the clock. Also, Cam Newton talking about whether or not he deserves to keep that starting job in New England and what the biggest issue has been for the Patriots to this point. And also Mike McCarthy on the offensive line not going after John Bostic when Andy Dalton wasn't knocked out, but knocked into last Tuesday. My mom used to say stuff like that. With that helmet-to-helmet hit, he was groggy. He didn't feel good at all, he said at the time. He had to be walked off the field, and he's in concussion protocol. So why didn't the offensive line go ballistic and come to his aid? Now, there are times when I have been in this very chair saying, if you lose your head in the heat of emotion and you retaliate, you do your team no good. I still say that's your best call in most cases is to not draw your own flag because you lost your cool and went after an opposing player. But there wasn't a whole lot of emotion, and many people have noted that and feel like that's a statement about the Dallas Cowboys. Well, Mike McCarthy, he was asked about it on Sunday and then again on Monday. The defensive coordinator, Mike Nolan, he had his own 2020 moment that is going to be a candidate for the Hall of Fame. So you hear that coming up as well. But just in general, so much attention on the Cowboys, so much attention on Mike McCarthy. There are even people calling for him to be fired now, just 7 weeks into the season.
We're a football team that's still working on the connection of how we do things and, you know, the practice format and ultimately playing in the game. So we're clearly not where we need to be, clearly not where we want to be, but that's kind of the state of the football team.
He changed pretty much everything. Couple of leftover coaches, but system and style and even the way that they practice, not to mention schemes and personnel, and didn't have a preseason with very many live reps. Of course, no reps against guys wearing different uniforms. And I'm surprised. I wouldn't have expected it, but it's fairly obvious that his team, the Cowboys, are having more trouble getting up to speed than pretty much any other team in the league. But I do appreciate there have been veterans on the Cowboys in the last 48 hours who've said it's not on the coaches. Leighton Van Der Esch said, this is on us. We need to take care of our business. We need to do our jobs out there. This is not on the coaches. Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper both coming out before their game against Washington saying, hey, it's nobody in our locker room. It's none of the veterans in our locker room who are blaming the coaches. We wouldn't do that. Now, I don't know how they explain the reports from Jane Slater of the NFL Network last week. Maybe they don't believe it's any of the veterans. Maybe it's guys on the practice squad. Maybe it's guys who aren't getting into the game. I don't know how you explain that because Jane wouldn't make that up. But both Zeke and Amari were pretty confident that it wasn't anybody who'd been in that locker room for a while. Still, it's a disaster. Let's be honest. I don't think a coaching change is required. I think more patience is required, but I also think these guys need to do their jobs. And certainly the defense has lost people and is also playing with such a lack of discipline. So there's a lot of issues that can't be fixed overnight. But man, it's fascinating to watch. And by fascinating, I mean morbid fascination. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. All right, let's see. Let's talk to Evan, who's in Cleveland. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Amy, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. So I'm calling back from last week with the Browns-Bengals. What an incredible game. It really stinks, though, that we did lose J.C. Treader for at least for the, you know, the first quarter and whatnot, and then Odell. But Donovan Peoples-Jones, like, he looks like the real deal. I know it's his first real game, but as of right now, that looks like a viable option to actually keep on the field. Him and behind Jarvis, like, some of the best hands in the league. But yeah, as I said last week, good teams win, great teams cover. Cody Parkey apparently does not like to cover spreads, missing extra points. But this week we have the Raiders -2.5 at home. So do you think we can get it done at home
against the Raiders? Well, I don't know if I don't know anything about spreads, so that's on you. Do I think they can win? I think they can. I do think they can't give up the type of yards and scoring, the type of points that they did against the Raiders. I mean, I don't believe in luck, so I'm not going to tell you they were lucky to win, but it was good that they had a minute left on the clock. I mean, it was about who ended up with the ball last, right? Because neither defense could come up with a stop. Now, the Raiders defense, they don't have a lot in the way of the pass rush, and so maybe there'll be, you know, that room for Baker to operate. You know, he can plant his feet. He has his time for his receivers to create separation. Certainly they should be able to run the ball too. So I think they could generate a lot of momentum offensively. And I like the way that the Browns defense is playing. They're creating turnovers. And Myles Garrett is a sack machine right now. But the Raiders also can score, and they can score in bunches. And so, you know, if you only win games by way of the shootout, eventually it's going to bite you in the rear. I mean, let's be honest, if there wasn't a minute left on the clock there, I mean, or if there was another minute left on the clock, the Bengals might have gone down the field and scored again. I mean, we're talking about a Bengals offense that is incomplete. So I think the Raiders will be a greater challenge. I would like to see it not turn into a shootout instead. But I do think that the Browns are, you know, they've got some momentum. They're playing some good football. I want them to do it against a tougher opponent.
I agree 100%. One last question for you. What's your favorite game you're looking forward to this week?
Coming up in the NFL?
Yes.
You know what? While you're on the phone, I'll look. Oh, my gosh. I can barely get through a day at a time, man. The World Series is still going on. I have not yet looked at next week's schedule. Oh, but I do know that the Cowboys and Eagles are playing, right? So I always look forward to the NFC East. And now it's so much drama. Let's see. Hold on. I'm going to answer your question. I'm going to look while we're sitting here. Week 8. Nuts that we're going to be into week number 8. Let's see. So I think the Patriots-Bills game should be interesting only because the Patriots they're rough right now and because Buffalo played so poorly this past weekend. Let's see, not the Jets and the Chiefs, in case you're wondering. Yep, let's see. Oh my gosh, how about New Orleans-Chicago? I'll go with the Saints in Chicago because I think the Chicago Bears will be desperate to get back on the winning track.
Absolutely. Well, great. Look forward to the rest of your show. You guys have a great rest of your night.
Thanks, Evan. Good to talk to you. Let's check in with Dan's in a windstorm. Dan in Cleveland, what's happening on the shores of Lake Erie? Why is it so loud there?
Yeah, I'm driving down the shoreway just like you predicted. You called it.
All right,
sir. Windy and rainy.
Yeah, it was that way at my house, too, on Monday. So what do you think?
Well, I want to call about OBJ. I know there's some whispers in town that maybe the Browns are a better team without OBJ, which is silly. Certainly on paper, you can't lose one of the best receivers in the league and say that you have a better team. But I do think that it could help, and it did help, Baker Mayfield not to have the pressure of trying to force the ball to OBJ. And maybe he can learn something the rest of the season while he's away about throwing to the open man rather than trying to throw to OBJ in the back of his head on every play. I mean, that interception he threw, who's it to? OBJ. I mean, you got to know there's probably somebody more open than the guy you threw a pick to. You know, he had his best game the rest of that game without OBJ on the field. And like I said, I'm not suggesting that we're a better team without OBJ. I hate to lose him, but we're certainly I think that they learned to play a different brand of football without him out there. And hopefully he can build on that, learn from that. And when OBJ does return next season, know that he can just go to whatever receiver is the best receiver to throw to on that particular play.
Okay, a couple of things. I don't think that Baker Mayfield feels any more pressure than what is generally there by being the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. The man's got pressure. Now, some of it's created because he's he invites the criticism. He pays attention to the criticism, and then he claps back at the criticism. So that just kind of turns into a bit of a spiral. So if he would ignore it, it wouldn't be there. But he's pretty defiant. He wakes up feeling dangerous, you know. And so I don't think the having OBJ on the field creates any extra pressure. He just feels it all the time. I would agree with you. There are times when he forces it, but I also say he's their best receiver. And there are a lot of quarterbacks who are looking for their best receivers because they're going to make plays. And certainly your best receivers often draw the best defense, the best defenders from the other team. But I don't think he learned anything in that moment. I mean, this is a team that's got a lot of options, a lot of weapons. And the whole offense is a work in progress because Baker at times is a gunslinger and because he tries to make too much happen. And because there are times when they're just not in sync. I mean, that's always the case when you're talking new scheme, new offense, and they've certainly gone through their share of schemes and offenses. But I would agree with your original premise that they're not better without him, even if Baker tries to force it to him when he shouldn't. They're still not a better team without this incredible option. Even if all OBJ is out there to do is be a decoy, which is funny, they're still not better without him because he draws a defensive player, and because it's then hard to clamp down on the other options.
Well, he did set a franchise record for completions in a row after OBJ left the field.
Yeah, well, that's not about OBJ, though. He could have done that with Odell being on the field as well. You can't just say that that's because OBJ left the field. I mean, that's not fair. It's not fair to Baker. It's not fair to the other guys who are out there. And it could very well have happened. It has a lot to do with the coverage they were seeing from the Bengals as well. So, I mean, jump to whatever conclusions you like, but it's not right to say that he did that because OBJ wasn't there, because we don't know if that's the truth.
You certainly can't play the game twice. Now, speaking of your Week 7 MVP, I mean, if you have asked people, take 100 people before Week 7 starts and say, who do you think could be the Week 7 MVP? Nobody was going to say Baker Mayfield, and he certainly got my vote this week.
All right, yeah, I don't do those kind of questions because that would be guessing, but I think Baker Mayfield certainly got a lot of people's attention. Thank you, Dan. Good to talk to you in Cleveland. Be safe while you're driving. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Coming up, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner, fresh off Monday Night Football. And it's been something I've been thinking about for days. I've been really excited to talk to him. I was nervous. My mom made fun of me. But it's Kurt Warner, and he's one of my favorites. So excited for you to hear this conversation with the two-time NFL MVP.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Full second down, 5. Got it in the shotgun. Throws a pass, far sideline. Leaping interception across the way. Jalen Ramsey got that ball with the interception on the far side of the field. First of the season, a big-time pick at the 39-yard line of Chicago on the far sideline. Foles in the gun from the 34 of Chicago. Drops back, winds up, long pass, near side, wobbles to the sideline, incomplete for Wims. Covered by Jalen Ramsey. He was down about the 25 of the Rams. It's incomplete on downs. The Bears turn it over, and this baby is over.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
And with that, Week 7 is in the books. Monday Night Football, the voice of Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. As the Bears fall to 5-2, the Rams climb to 5-2, and the NFC East, well, that was where the Rams had picked up all of their wins. Now they've got their first win outside of the NFC East, and it was a good one on Monday night in their own stadium. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, alongside Kevin Harlan, his Monday night partner on Westwood One, the Hall of Fame quarterback, Kurt Warner. And we'd been angling to get Kurt on the show for quite a while. Really excited to finally have that happen here on After Hours. Kurt, you tweeted a photo of the brand new SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, a gorgeous picture. Because I'm a fan of sci-fi, to me it looks like a space station. What are your impressions of this brand new stadium that the Rams have unveiled?
It is awesome. The stadium is beautiful. And, you know, as you know, with all these new stadiums, you know, the big screens up top, it's hard to even take your eyes off of that and watch the game because it's incredible. It's lit up. It's open, so you can kind of feel the air, you know, from the outside. And, I mean, it's beautiful. It's huge. It's going to be an unbelievable home atmosphere when we get through this pandemic and we can fill this up and the Rams fan can come out here and enjoy this experience. Really, really cool, and it was fun to call the game. But, as I said, I look forward to it when it's full of fans.
Kevin Harlan told me when he joined my show not that long ago that it's actually been the biggest challenge for him as a broadcaster this season, not to have the crowd noise and not to have the fans. But from a player's perspective, what's the biggest challenge when you have a cavernous stadium like that and it's empty?
You know, I wish I had an answer for you, but I can't remember the last time I played and there weren't fans anywhere, you know, making any kind of noise. And so I remember when I was playing, though, is that I fed off of the fans, and different players feed off the fans in different ways. Some guys are energy guys, right? They need to hear the fans, you know, cheering for them and, you know, get them going. Or even if the fans are booing them, it gives them extra energy. For me, I think it was about focus, is that when I got out on the field, and whether you had 70,000 people cheering for you or 70,000 people cheering against you, it made me focus and kind of tune that stuff out and get me locked into a game a little bit more. And you never really had that in practice. You never really had that feel unless you were in this atmosphere. And so it is fascinating to me. I'm looking forward to talking to some players and saying, okay, what's the biggest difference? Do you really notice it when you get into a game? Or, you know, for me, I had the ability to kind of tune people out where, you know, even when I'm at home and I might sit down to text somebody, I tune out all my kids, even if they're like, dad, dad, dad. And my wife will come over and kind of hit me like, dude, your kids are trying to get a hold of you, but I could get so focused that I don't hear anything. So I'm just fascinated to see what the players say when we get a chance to really talk to them after this experience. And what was different? Was it different? Were they able to get into that same game mode, even though there wasn't the 70,000 fans, you know, cheering them on?
The LA Rams had padded their lead, or their record, I should say, against the NFC East before this test against the Chicago Bears. What impressed you in their victory tonight?
Well, I think just the balance, whether you talk about the balance offensively, you know, throwing for a little over 200 yards, running for 150 yards, their ability to keep this really good Chicago defense off balance all night long, what they do offensively when they're on schedule and they can, you know, do all their motions and movements and play actions off of their run game, they are a really, really tough team to stop if you can't get some negative plays against them. So balance offensively, but maybe more importantly, balance as a team. You know, this is a top 10 offense and the top 10 defense. And you saw the defense bouncing around, making plays, making big plays at big moments. And, you know, I kind of look across the board at the best teams in the league, and I think you're going to have a top offense and top defense. You know, I look at the Seattles, and I don't know how long they're going to be able to last if they've got to score 30-plus points every week to win. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Los Angeles Rams, a couple teams that jump out to me as teams that can win on either side of the ball, and I think that's going to be key.
I just heard you guys talking about this in the post-game show. I think it's really fascinating, the strength of the NFC West. You mentioned the Seattle Seahawks and maybe not quite being as balanced, but how much separation between the Seahawks, who are at the top of this division, and the defending NFC champs, the Niners, at the bottom, quote unquote?
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of separation. We talked about it, that I think any team in this division could beat any other team on any given Sunday. And so, you know, how it all shakes out at the end of the day, I don't know. And who can make the most noise in the playoffs is always the most important question. And I could see three teams from this division. Man, could we even see four teams from this division
Whoa.
Now that there's, you know, seven playoff teams? I mean, we had a stat that the first time, and I don't know, or I think the fifth time ever that, you know, this point in the season, that every team in a division has a winning record. It's above 500. And so this is a good football team. I mean, with the Rams, and then we saw the Rams get beat by the 49ers and Seattle. We saw them get beat by Arizona. I mean, I don't know how it's going to shake out. And, you know, which team gets healthy, which team, you know, kind of gets on a run late in the season. But I think we're going to see at least three of these teams in the playoffs, you know. And, yeah, it'd be crazy if we saw four.
Let's hope they don't completely beat each other up. We're spending a few minutes with Kurt Warner, who's a two-time NFL MVP and, of course, a Super Bowl champ, a Hall of Famer. Fresh off Monday Night Football on Westwood One Radio. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's go flip side now. The Chicago Bears exposed, of course, that offense has kind of been doing just enough. We know the defense is really good, but how in the world do you jumpstart that offense?
I don't know. I mean, it has to start with the quarterback position more than anything else. When Mitch was playing, they struggled to get any continuity. They struggled to have consistency at the position. That's why they went to Nick, knowing that he's been a big game guy and, you know, he's had success in the league at different times. But you go back and look at Nick Foles' career, he's never really, you know, maybe outside of 07 when he had that great year in Philly, he's never really been consistent at the position either. You
right.
never knew what you were going to get outside of, you know, two or three game run here or there. And we're seeing that show up again. There's no efficiency. There's nothing that I look at and say, oh, they're going to do this every week, and that's what they can hang their hat on. I don't see it with the Bears. Even though I believe they've got some really talented players, especially at the skill positions, They just, I don't know what they do. I don't know what they're good at. And it starts at the quarterback position, is that Nick Foles hasn't shown me that, hey, he can come out and at least give me something every time out. He takes too many chances with the football. You know, and you think back to their team, I mean, they've won three games coming back from double digits, I believe. The Lions game, the Falcons game, the Bucks game.
Yep.
And it's just not a formula to win. They've got to figure out some kind of formula offensively, but I'm really not sure what it is.
That's Kurt Warner, fresh off Monday Night Football. And you hear him talk about the balance of not just the Rams, but also the NFC West as a whole. Could you imagine four teams from that division in the playoffs? That would leave just the division champs from the other three in the NFC. And then how do you fix the Bears offense? That's a great question. Certainly it's about quarterback play, but also the lack of a run game. And so it was cool to talk to Kurt about Monday night specifically and about what we saw with the Bears and the Rams. And after the update, this young stud crop of quarterbacks in the NFL and how long it takes for these guys to truly be comfortable in the position. Plus, Kurt's now a fan of a college football player who he happens to be related to. So some fun stuff still ahead with the Hall of Famer.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
They quickly break huddle. Second down, three from the four. Goff gets the snap, drops back to throw to the far sideline, throws in the end zone, touchdown. Over the shoulder catch, Josh Reynolds on the far side of the end zone. 5 yards deep, 4 yard touchdown pass. And the Rams are on the board with a nice throw by Goff, who throws his 11th touchdown pass of the year.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jared Goff would tack on a second touchdown. The Rams go 3-for-4 in the red zone, and they rush for over 160 yards. As Kurt Warner told us before the break, a balanced attack and then a balance between offense and the defensive effort as well. The Rams D allowing fewer than 300 total yards to the Bears and really corralling not just the run game, but also the effectiveness of Nick Foles. Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner on Westwood One, the call of Monday Night Football every week. It's always fun to listen to. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Spending a few minutes now with the Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner. And let's talk about the incredible crop of young stud quarterbacks in the NFL right now. We can find them sprinkled throughout the league in seemingly every division, whether it's a Justin Herbert, who is already kind of attracting a lot of attention as a rookie, or maybe a Patrick Mahomes, who really took over after a year of sitting on the bench behind Alex Smith. How would you describe this group that is taking over the position of quarterback in the NFL right now, Kurt?
I would describe them as being, you know, more of dual threat quarterbacks. You know, for a long time, we thought that there was one way to play this position. And if you were going to win championships, you had to be a pocket passer and you had to be a guy that could make plays from the pocket consistently. Now, I still believe you have to do that come playoff time. People are going to force you to have to beat them that way. But when you look at this new crop of quarterbacks, so many of them are multifaceted in how they play the game, is that they don't live in the pocket anymore, that there's design runs. So much of it is ad lib, getting out on the edge and creating and playing backyard football. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, yet I know that can win in the regular season. And I know that can win, you know, when you're playing teams that aren't the best teams in the league. The question is, can that win come playoff time? Lamar Jackson, we know what he did last year. He has struggled in the playoffs when teams have forced him to play away from his strength. And that's how I look at these young quarterbacks. Dynamic, fun to watch on a week-to-week basis. But which one is going to be the guy that can win a championship or compete for a championship playing that way, or can separate themselves and take that next step like a Patrick Mahomes? What's made him so good is, yes, he's good with the no-look passes and the stuff he does when things break up, you know, fall apart in front of him. But really where he's good is he can separate himself by what he does in the pocket. These young quarterbacks aren't developed like that quite yet.
Right.
And I'm waiting to see who's going to be that next guy or that first guy or the first couple guys that can show us they can be dynamic, but more importantly, they can be consistent inside the pocket.
Well, your career was atypical, of course. It was unconventional. But how long do you think it does take a young quarterback with so much on his plate to get comfy with the system, with the voice, with his receivers, just in general with the NFL?
Well, I think it takes a while, first of all. But the other part that always interests me, and again, I wasn't an athletic quarterback, so I had to learn how to play in the pocket if I was going to be successful. The thing that interests me is that these guys are getting more and more talented. You know, the more talented players are playing quarterback, something we didn't see a couple decades ago. And so they get farther and farther because they're such good athletes without truly having to learn how to play inside the pocket. And so even, to think you can play at this level, Colin Kaepernick jumps out at me, a guy that was such a great athlete. He took his team to the Super Bowl and never really fully understood or learned how to play the position from inside the pocket. And so the question really becomes, these guys are so used to falling back on their talent. How much does that limit them from truly getting stuck in the pocket and learning how to play inside the pocket and add that to what they can do outside the pocket? You know, can they get to that level? Because I've seen some guys, you know, Deshaun Watson's a great example. He has had tremendous success. I mean, historic success in what he's done in his early career. But he's still not learning how to play inside the pocket and on schedule. And so I'm waiting to see, is his whole career going to be more ad lib, more creative, you know, more special plays, but never learning how to, I always call it, make the layups. See what he's supposed to see, make the throws that he's supposed to make, the throws you have to make if you're going to advance in the playoffs and move on when you're playing against good teams. And I'm waiting to see that with a number of guys. You know, Kyler Murray is another one. Great success early in his career, hasn't learned how to play inside the pocket yet. Will that come? Will there come a time that they learn that? Or are they going to try to survive their whole career being more of an athletic, ad-lib type quarterback? Again, that's what I'm fascinated to see in the next 10 years with all these talented quarterbacks we have, is what their careers look like when it's all said and done.
Kurt Warner with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I told my listeners that you were going to be on the show, and one of them posed this question, which I thought might be fun. Did you have a Daniel Jones moment, meaning you're out, you weren't an athletic guy, as you said, so you weren't going to outrun the defense, but a moment where maybe the 20-yard line just completely tripped you up and you ended up on a blooper reel?
I mean, I'm on a couple blooper reels, but it was never because I ran anywhere and tripped over a line. But there are a couple, and my kids always let me know about them. And so one was, I was playing against the Indianapolis Colts, and we were going for it on fourth down because we were down late in the game. And so on fourth down, some pressure came quickly. And so I had to kind of run backwards, and I was trying to weave my way around so I could just get a throw up into the end zone. And I ended up taking a 28-yard sack. getting tripped up as I was trying to make a move, and a 28-yard sack. And so that's one that my kids always put on the blooper reel. Like, Dad, you took a 28-yard sack. A couple weeks ago, somebody posted something that Joe Flacco took a 28-yard sack, and I automatically sent it to my kids because I wasn't sure how long mine was, and I'm like, hey, I think Joe Flacco beat me, and they're like, no, Dad, yours was 28 yards also. So I do have a number of bloopers like that, but at least Daniel Jones ran 80 yards first. I mean, he ran 80 yards before he tripped. He can at least tell his grandkids that. Like, how many quarterbacks get an 80-yard run in their career? See, I don't have that. I lost 28 yards, and that's what's on my highlight reel.
You mentioned your kids, and obviously you're on your Twitter a lot talking about your sons that play football. What did it mean to you and to your family to see the Big Ten return this past weekend with your son at Nebraska?
You know, it's great. I mean, he's, you know, put in a lot of work. They've all put in a lot of work, you know, through the pandemic. He went back to school in the middle of the summer as they were going to start training for the fall, and then things get pushed back. And, you know, and those kids, they just put in so much time that they wanted to get out there and play. So it was fun to see him back out there this weekend. Obviously, a tough game against Ohio State to have to start out with Ohio State, one of the best teams in the country. But it was good to see him back on the field and doing what he loves doing. And he was voted captain, you know, after walking on, you know, to Nebraska and, you know, working his way up to become a starter and then to get on scholarship and to become a captain. Really, really proud of him. And it's really fun to see him out there playing and doing, like I said, what he loves to do. And so not a good start, but hopefully the season will get better. But it is good to see college football and it's good to see the NFL. I mean, you wondered how far we were going to make it
right
to be in week seven and going strong. I mean, it's just I'm glad that we're getting back to normal and we're working through some of the issues that that we have with, you know, with everything going on in our country.
Sure. Do they ask you for advice or do they listen to your advice about football?
No, they don't. You know, I always make myself available. I don't ever want to be that dad that kind of, you know, steps in and says, hey, you know, let me help you with this. But I do always make myself available, not just to, you know, my kids' schools, but to a lot of other schools. And, you know, up to this point, we haven't had a lot of conversations about it, which, you know, is probably cool with my son as well. But I'm always available and looking to help any program and any coach if there's a way that I can do that.
All right, so before we let you go, we have something we want you to hear, and this might be my favorite moment of Monday Night Football on Westwood One of all time. Kurt, listen.
Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds are the keto friendly snack that's as bold as you are. Be big, be bold, be adventurous. Visit porkrinds.com. Kurt used to be the voice of those pork rinds, but then Amy Lawrence of CBS Radio took your job.
Well, Amy's great.
But she is. And I was visiting with her last. She tracked me. I'd left New England and worked my way to Dallas last night, and it was about midnight, and the phone rings, and she says, will you come on and visit my show? I said, yeah. And I said, what's the deal about taking money out of my guy's pocket there for the pork rinds commercial?
Yeah, she's better at than I am. No, so
I hate to admit it, but she is.
I know. I hate to admit it, too, but the truth is the truth. And
all right.
Okay, so we heard that. I nearly drove off the road when I was listening to you and Kevin. I'm screaming in my car because I'm so excited. But I do want to officially apologize for taking the $5 out of your pocket, Kurt Warner.
There is no need to apologize whatsoever. The truth is the truth. Like I said, you are better at it than I am. I got to get better at my voiceovers like Kevin. So but we have a lot of fun here on our broadcast. I love doing this with Kevin. It's one of my favorite gigs to come out here every Monday night and call these games and have a little bit of fun. But I'm glad you have the gig. You do a great job with
Thank
it.
You.
So hold on to that thing. Otherwise, I'm going to try to steal it back at some point.
All right. We'll lob it back and forth like it's a football. I enjoy listening to you guys because you have fun. And there are times like late in this game between the Rams and the Bears where he describes the situation as dire and you just don't have anything to say except to laugh, which is... Which is
right. Well, you know how colorful he is with
yes.
so many different things. And so, you know, sometimes you got a witty comeback and other times you do. You just kind of shake. Did he really just say that? And you just let it go. But again, it's at the end of the day, I think we always have to remember it's a game and we should have fun covering it. We should have fun playing it. And we definitely do that on Monday nights. And so I'm thankful to be a part of Westwood One and what we're doing.
You can find Kurt on Twitter at Kurt13Warner, two-time NFL MVP, of course, a Super Bowl champ, a husband, a dad, and Westwood One color commentator on Monday Night Football. Kurt, I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
You bet, Amy, anytime.
Anytime, he said. Now, we're not going to treat that as though it's literal, but I do feel like, you know, we're buds now. We're going to compete for Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds airtime. How great was that, you guys? Wasn't that awesome? He's so good, and he can analyze and criticize. I mean, he also praises, but he can analyze and criticize and offer insight into what quarterbacks are doing, both positive and negative, without it being personal, which is one of my favorite things about him. And he's funny, and the story about the 28-yard sack, as well as The story is about his kids and how they don't listen to what he has to say about football. That's awesome. So I hope you enjoyed it. If you missed any part of it, I'm going to share it with my family on Tuesday. It'll be part of our podcast, AfterHoursAmyLawrence.com. But we appreciate Kurt. And also the brain trust at Westwood One, Howard Dinneroff being number one there. Also Aaron, their producer in Los Angeles tonight. We appreciate them connecting us with Kurt over what was a satellite line as opposed to a phone. And I'm sure you could hear how clear the audio was. So that was pretty awesome. And he was a good sport about the pork rinds commercial. Let's see. Coming up Sunday, the NFL on CBS features a matchup of two elite teams fighting for division supremacy. This is going to be great. And earlier, when our caller Evan from Cleveland asked me which game I was most looking forward to this weekend, I was scanning the schedule because I don't have the week 8 schedule memorized. And in fact, I rarely look at it until we're getting to Thursday Night Football. In fact, sometimes I will say to producer Dave, who plays on Thursday night? Because I don't know. I'm in the moment, peeps. I'm in the moment. Anyway, if I had seen this game on the schedule, this is the one that I would have circled with a bright yellow and then purple markers, both of them, so that we're not biased. The Pittsburgh Steelers bring their ironclad defense to Baltimore. It's a battle with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Of course, these are the top two teams in the AFC North, two of the top teams in the conference. Then you've got a key AFC East showdown between the Bills and the Patriots. You can join JB and the guys as they get you set for all of the week 8 action on the NFL today, starting at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Sunday, the NFL is on CBS. So if you would like to weigh in, if you want to respond or react to the Kurt Warner interview, that's awesome. Would love to hear from you. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And do you want to know what's really scary? Super scary. Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night, or you can just switch to Geico and save, and then you can enjoy our show as a reason to stay up at night. Okay, next hour, no more Kurt Warner. He was probably the highlight of the show. Let's just be honest. But we do have QB news, an extended QB news coming up about 40 minutes from now. In addition, we'll take more of your calls. Yay. But we've also got the opportunity to introduce our TD of the week candidates. There are some doozies along with your choice for Monday MVP. It's all happening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.